Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, where we're reading my book, The Blood and the Glory. Reverend Barrett, this is page 145, from Norway, traveled extensively and sent reports to Confidence from around the world. Confidence was a magazine that was published in the early days of the outpouring that came at the beginning of the 20th century, the Latter Rain outpouring. Reverend Barrett wrote an article, and he signed it in the first issue, Yours Forever, in the Blood and Fire, Barrett. The September 1908 issue of Confidence was printed 1 year after the fire fell at Sunderland. In the opening article, A Year of Blessing, September 1907 to 1908, Alexander Body, the bishop, enumerated 12 things that they were thankful to God for. Here are the first three. Number one, no one but the Lord could have given to his servants in this place and to those who come long distances in order to have fellowship with him such real hunger after himself, such a desire to be loyal to the Lord and to do his will. Number two, we thank him for the difference in many ways between this year and previous years in the matter of worship. We have not forgotten that prayer meetings before were occasionally successful. Though it was very hard to keep them up, they would dwindle and die. But Pentecostal prayer meetings, full of power and almost nightly, have gone on all the year round, equally successful in summer and in winter. The Lord makes his presence so real that we cannot stay away. They go on of themselves, for he is present. Number three, during the past 12 months, the atoning work of God's incarnate Son has in a new way been ever our theme. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus has been our constant and only plea, and we have, as never before, adored the Lamb that was slain, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and in other tongues, as the Spirit himself gave utterance. Reverend Body visited Pastor Pohlman's work in Amsterdam and wrote an in-depth report of the power of Pentecost in Holland. It was a most remarkable meeting as those dear Dutch saints prayed and sang in their own language or in tongues. And now and again a wave of power would just send them all adoring the Lamb together. When the blood was honored, the power was greatest. A letter from Motherwell, Scotland, included in the anniversary issue, is very enlightening. We were at Kilsyth 10 days ago and had a magnificent time. We had an altar call on Sabbath evening. And never, even when the work first began here, have we had such power. We just gathered at the front, perhaps 3 seats full on each side, and began to pray. When the fire fell, the scene and the glory were indescribable. God means us to go on day by day, getting more and more of himself. I was glad to see your article on the pleading of the blood and on boldness to enter the holiest by the blood. We got a message last Tuesday when a few of us gathered for prayer, confirming to us in the fact that, quote, in the pleading of the blood, from the heart lies your victory. Then came Read Leviticus. So we have been going through it again, noting what God hath wrought and the place into which he has magnified the blood. We are so apt to look at the matter critically, forgetting that even when we stand at heaven's gate, we shall have no other plea for entrance but the precious blood. Then there is perhaps another reason why at this time as never before we need to plead the blood. Christian Science, spiritualism, and even the new theology is just Christianity without the blood, spurious and sham. The atonement as a putting away of sin and sacrifice is present from the latter-day counterfeits. Is absent from the latter-day counterfeits. I'll read that sentence again. The atonement as a putting away of sin and sacrifice is absent from the latter-day counterfeits. Then in Peter's epistle, the last apostasy is denial of the Lord that bought them, the purchase of the blood. There seems to be far more truth than we ever dreamt in the old song, The Spirit Answers to the Blood, sung and experienced by the Wesleyan Methodists in the days when God worked by them and in them. Signed, Victor Wilson. There is not space for more of these letters and accounts, but I could quote issue after issue of Confidence, that magazine, with reference to the blood's part in the Spirit's outpouring. I could quote issue after issue of the Pentecostal Evangel, the Assemblies of God periodical from those days. More often than not, the editorial article by Stanley Frodsham, Wigglesworth's friend and biographer, was about the blood of our redemption. I found wonderful articles by Lillian B. Yeomans and others still known and revered today who were part of this outpouring. Now for a brief look at the signs, wonders, and miracles which accompanied the outpouring. Chapter 24, The Anointing for Power. Some names held in honor today, Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Woodworth Etter, and many others, received their baptisms in the Holy Spirit in the latter rain outpouring. Ministers have searched for keys to their successes. Miracles and healings are well documented. People were raised from the dead during their ministries. In my study, I have come to see how the outpouring of the hour affected them. For one thing, when they received the Holy Spirit, it was just that, holy. Their awe of the God of the anointing never left them. When the Spirit was poured out, it was a miraculous wonder to them. They had gotten used to tongues and prophecy. They respected the gifts. It was accepted that to walk in such wondrous and holy things, one would need to walk cleansed. The blood was for that. Later, two or three generations or so, outward things were taught for holiness. But at first, when they spoke of holiness, they spoke of the blood. John G. Lake. John G. Lake sent a report from South Africa to Confidence for the 1909 August issue. Quote, "The night before last, a crippled native woman came to the meeting on her hands and knees. She had been in this condition for several years. We prayed for her. Jesus instantly set her free. So she arose and walked, praising God. Several gave their hearts to God at that time. We make them pray through until God fills their souls with Himself. This morning, another woman came with violent pains in her head, chest, and back, apparently pneumonia. We prayed for her. Jesus instantly healed her. She burst into tears. The Spirit came upon her, and she was saved right there. At Potgaterust, a dead child came back to life when our native evangelist prayed 7 hours after he died. At a children's meeting, native children, a choir of angels appeared, angel children, and sang, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me.' Many dying were healed, and when I went there, they came rejoicing to see how Jesus had helped them, to show me how Jesus had helped them. Your brother in Jesus Christ, John G. Lake." One of the greatest honors of my life, this is Billy Brim speaking, began the day an older, gentle couple walked into my office in about 1979. It was John G. Lake's daughter, Gertrude, and her husband, Wilfred Wright, who had been a student in Lake's Bible school. We became fast friends, and I observed in them the power of the Spirit of prayer and healing. The Wrights brought with them a treasure of John Lake's sermons and letters. Just recently, these were published in a book by John G. Lake, His Life, His Sermons, His Boldness of Faith. You can get that from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They published it. We also have it. In his sermons, it is plain to see that Lake, like others of the time, was conscious of a holy power operating in and through him, which he highly respected, and I quote, "The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the greatest event in Christian history. Jesus went to the ultimate, to the very throne and heart of God, and secured right out of the heavenly treasure of the eternal soul, the Almighty Spirit, and poured it forth upon the world in divine baptism. The descent of the Holy Ghost brought to the souls of men a universal ministry of Jesus to every man right from the heart of God. Heavenly contact with the eternal God in power set their nature all aflame, for God and with God, exalted their natures into God, and made the recipient godlike. Man became godlike." Holy ground. Lake continues, "There is no subject in all the Word of God that seems to me should be approached with so much holy reverence as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the first essential in a real Holy Ghost church and a real Holy Ghost work is to begin to surround the baptism of the Holy Ghost with that due reverence of God with which an experience so sacred and that costs such an awful price should be surrounded." Now, this is Billy Brim reading. "For this power they respected, the old-timers knew they must be cleansed. and the blood was the only agent. John G. Lake, in whose hands bubonic plague germs died, and in whose ministry there are hundreds of thousands of cases of medically confirmed healings, he tells of his steps to operating in the power and the part that the blood played in it. This is John G. Lake. After seeking God persistently, almost night and day for 2 months, the Lord baptized me in the Holy Ghost, causing me to speak in tongues and magnify God. I had looked for and prayed and coveted the real power of God for the ministry of healing, and believed God that when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, that His presence in me through the Spirit would do for the sick the things my heart desired and which they needed. Instantly, upon being baptized in the Spirit, I expected to see the sick healed in a greater degree and in larger numbers than I had known before. And for a time, I seemed to be disappointed. How little we know of our own relationship to God. How little I knew of my own relationship to Him. For day by day, for 6 months following my baptism in the Holy Ghost, the Lord revealed to me many things in my life where repentance, confession, and restitution were necessary. And yet I had not repented. And yet I had repented unto God long ago. Oh, the deep cleansing, the deep revelations of one's own heart by the Holy Ghost. It was indeed, as John the Baptist said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. First, then, I will say the baptism in the Holy Ghost meant to me a heart searching, as I had never known before. With no rest in every instance, the blood was consciously applied, and my life set free from the particular thing that God had revealed. As I say, this process continued for 6 months after my baptism in the Holy Ghost. Second, a love for mankind, such as I had never comprehended, took possession of my life. Such love is not human. Such love is only Jesus Himself, who gave His life for others. After the mighty love came the renewed, energized power for healing the sick. Oh, what blessed things God has given on this line. What glorious resurrections of the practically dead. Such restorations of the lame and the halt and the blind. Then came as never before the power to preach the Word of God in demonstration of the Spirit. Oh, the burning, fiery messages. Oh, the tender, tender, loving messages. Oh, the deep revelations of wondrous truth by the Holy Ghost. Then came the strong, forceful exercise of dominion over devils to cast them out. Since that time, many insane and demon-possessed spirits of insanity, all sorts of unclean demons, have been cast out in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of the precious blood. Saints have been led into deeper life in God. Many, many have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. My own ministry was multiplied 100-fold in the very lives of others to whom God committed this same ministry. Yea, verily, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is to be desired with the whole heart. Thank you for being with us this week. We shall continue next week with Smith Wigglesworth. Shalom.